this is East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona for today, May 5th, focusing on Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. I am your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. First up in Gilbert News, Gilbert Public School Board reconsidering school calendars by Arapna Shekar, GSN staff writer. The Gilbert Public Schools Governing Board last week delayed a decision on approving calendars for 2027-28 through 2029-30 after some members wondered whether a major change is in order. The board voted 3-2 to table the matter to a June meeting after board clerk Shauna Murray said she prefers a different version that splits the two-week fall break into 1 week in October and the other being Thanksgiving week. A community survey conducted by the district earlier this year showed that over 70% of GPS parents and 85% of its staff preferred the current 2-2-2 calendar. That schedule has a two-week block in the fall, the Christmas holidays and spring, along with 8 to 9 weeks of summer break after the school year ends before Memorial Day. The rest of the survey respondents preferred a 1-2-1 calendar with only 1 week in the fall and spring and two for the December holidays so that the summer break lasts longer with the school year starting in August. The calendars that were up for board approval last week followed the 2-2-2 format in accordance with the majority of the survey responses. While the board members were in favor of discussing Murray's idea, member Jill Humphreys noted that it would have to go through the district administration's scrutiny before it could be approved. "I don't think we can make that decision off the cuff tonight," she said. Superintendent Dr. Shane McCord also suggested that if the board was considering a different calendar format, the district should conduct a new survey. "I think that's only prudent if we've gone to our community with the options that we've been given," he said. "If tonight we're looking at changing gears, I think that it is detrimental to our integrity as a school district if we adopt something without going back out and resurveying people," McCord added. Murray, a Mesa Public Schools teacher, said she feels strongly about the change based on what research she has done and what she has heard from her interactions with the GPS community. She also said that redoing the survey might have been a good idea if the district had the time. McCord then suggested that the district could survey the community on the different format in the first month of the new school year. "I would just caution you in this sense that we are getting there 17 days left of school and our captive audience is decreasing by the moment," he said, adding that community members are expecting the calendars to be approved by the end of the school year to start planning vacations. Board President Chad Thompson then suggested only approving the 27-28 calendar at the meeting, leaving the board to revisit the other calendar's format at a later time. "If people are traveling to destinations a year or two in advance, it's typical to get reservations, depending on what you're doing. People are already planning their vacations out into the 27-28 school year," Humphreys said. Murray said that while she understands the issue with vacation booking, she was concerned with the lower attendance rates during Thanksgiving week, affecting students' academic growth. "Also want to be able to avoid some of that learning loss, and I just know how much work it takes when they're off for 2 weeks," she said. Thompson said that in his research, he found that Mesa Public Schools adopted a new calendar with a split fall break because of the recurrent lower attendance rates during Thanksgiving week. "I think this could solve a problem with attendance, and I've always been vocal that I don't want any school in June or July. I think kids need that time. I think our summers are too short," he said, supporting Murray's suggestion. Dr. Jason Martin, Assistant Superintendent of Elementary Schools, said that Mesa Public Schools will be the first district in the East Valley to implement such a format and will only adopt the split calendar in the 27-28 school year. "Moving to that calendar that is split in the fall, you're going to be mostly starting in July. It would be around July 25th to July 31st, most likely for those dates," he said. Board member Jesse Brainerd said his concerns stemmed from getting district stakeholder feedback. "I do believe if we did something new, we would have to send out a new survey," he said. Board member Dr. Blake Robinson stated that he was not interested in kicking the can further down the road and would like to have the discussion to change the calendar format in the next few months, rather than 2 years down the road. I actually think philosophically this isn't that big of a change to where we would need to go back out and survey again, he said, adding that MPS also did a survey and adopted their new calendar based on community input. Robinson then moved to table the calendar approval for June without going in for a new community survey, and Murray asked district staff to provide data of GPS students' attendance during its breaks at the meeting as well. McCord suggested that the board keep the discussion during a June 23rd board meeting, allowing the GPS community members to weigh in through the public comment section. I don't see the point of tabling it without getting public input if we are going to provide these different options, Brainerd said, voting no on the motion to postpone the calendar's approval. We are going full steam ahead, and if we're going to make a change, it needs to be done thoughtfully, intentionally, and with due process so the community voice can be heard, Humphrey said, also casting a nay vote with Brainerd. Up next in Gilbert News, Gilbert home sales fell, median price rose last month, by Paul Marinac, GSN executive editor. Home sales in Gilbert last month fell year over year as the median sale price nudged up slightly and days on the market fell. Data from the Phoenix Realtors, the Valley's largest association of real estate professionals, also showed that while new listings fell, more homes were on sale by the end of March than there were in March 2025. The 259 home sales last month in Gilbert marked a 2.6% year-over-year dip as the median sale price ticked up by 1% in that time to $625,000. The average sale price was $716,507, a 2.4% year-over-year drop, according to Phoenix Realtors. Pending sales plummeted 29.3% last month from March 2025 total, while new listings were down 6.8%. Still, inventory stood at 833 homes, a 5.7% year-over-year increase. Sellers received 98.5% of their asking price, slightly more than a year earlier, and they waited an average 58 days on the market to make the transaction, a 4.9% year-over-year decline. Phoenix Realtors said Valleywide home sales last month posted a notable increase of 10% over February and 4.6% year-over-year. It said those increases signaled continued market resilience, even as broader economic and geopolitical uncertainty persisted. The March data reflects a market where buyers and sellers are still finding ways to get deals done, said Phoenix Realtors Board President Sammy Glassman. That continued activity points to a level of stability in the greater Phoenix market, even as conditions continue to evolve. The group added, however, that while closed sales reflect continued momentum, forward-looking indicators, namely new listings and pending sales, suggest the market may be moderating in months ahead. Valleywide, pending sales in March dropped 27.9% from February and 8.4% year-over-year, while new listings were 3.8% lower than the first quarter of 2025. Earlier this month, the Cromford Report, a leading analyst of the Valley housing market, said sales across the Phoenix metro region in March were stronger than expected. But it also noted, "I don't have a satisfactory explanation why the March numbers looked as good as they do. This makes me a bit nervous about the months to come." The Cromford Report said last week that of the 18 Valley submarket it monitors, 10 were favorable to sellers, while buyers were likely to find more favorable conditions in Phoenix, Gilbert, Mesa, Cave Creek, Peoria, and Sandtown Valley. It listed Gilbert as the 7th most favorable market for sellers by mid-April, behind Chandler and Tempe, but ahead of Mesa. Overall, it added, the real estate market in Greater Phoenix is an oasis of calm in an otherwise tumultuous world. Up next in Chandler news, Chandler using AI in many ways, and more are planned, by Ken Sane, managing editor. The city of Chandler is already using artificial intelligence to improve services to its residents, and it is planning to rely on it even more in the future. These are actual, real-use cases that the city is delivering AI services on, said Kirsten Nold, Chandler's chief technology officer. We're using arterial traffic management. Our traffic management in the city of Chandler is by far the best in the valley. I hear that everywhere I go at conferences. AI is optimizing signal timing to reduce congestion across Chandler. The city is also using AI for customer service with chatbots to monitor short-term rentals, to support housing proactively, and for research and analysis. It is also using AI in real-time operations center to monitor data and incident response, to detect any cybersecurity threats, mapping and spatial analysis for planning and utilities, reducing manual work in finance, human resources, and administration, and for daily productivity with drafting, analysis, and other activities. But officials see a lot more possibilities, according to a presentation by Chandler's AI team to council at an April 20th work session. City Manager John Pombier has said incorporating AI into city functions is one of his top priorities. Nold said she envisions a future where residents can call after normal business hours and an AI operator answers. It will match whatever language the resident is speaking. For example, if the resident needs help signing up for utilities, then it will walk them through the process in whatever language they speak. Nold stressed that AI would not replace current staff handling that job. If a resident calls during business hours, they will still get an actual human. That seems to be an important point to members of council. I think you hit it on the head. One of the fears somebody mentioned earlier was about job loss, Councilman Matt Orlando said. This is really to increase productivity and allow you to do other things. We've got to be sure that's well articulated. To guide the process of incorporating more artificial intelligence into city operations, the city has formed an AI steering committee. It has representatives from every department in the city. Nold said there are two types of artificial intelligence that matter. The first is generative, which most people use. It understands and generates human language, can draft documents, answer questions, analyze data. It responds to your prompt and waits for the next one. Agentic AI does more than respond. It acts. It plans. It decides and completes an entire workflow without any human involvement. It's great for monitoring city networks and auto-isolates any threats. Chandler's policy will involve both types. The AI team is asking council to approve an enterprise AI pilot program that will cost between $40,000 and $75,000. It will give 100 employees a license and allow them to draft reports, memos, and council presentations in minutes. The AI could write policy documents, communications, and requests for proposal responses. It could also synthesize community feedback and public comments, generate training content and procedure documentation, analyze budgets, summarize trends, and flag data anomalies. It would be able to research regulations, case law, and compliance requirements, as well as best practices from peer cities. It would automate repetitive tasks. To keep everything secure, it would not be accessible to the public, and there would be a sign-on with employee identifications. There would be full log of all interactions. It's really about the human in the lead. An AI is really automated intelligence with people processing data, Nold said. Our mission is to deliver human-centered digital experiences with our residents through automation. You're listening to East Valley News for today, May 5th, focusing on Gilbert, Chandler, and Sung Lakes. I'm your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. Next in Chandler News, Chandler Unified Intern Program Off to a Big Start by Ken Sane, Managing Editor. Just before the current school year began, Chandler Unified School District added a career and technical education course designed to give students internship opportunities but a lot of the details still needed to be worked out. Tiffany Bellows was hired to oversee it. However, education employee contracts start with the fiscal year, so her first day was July 1st. Classes began just 15 days later. "Yeah, I was very busy," Bellows said. She gave the governing board an update on the program at its April 22nd meeting. Despite her short lead time, the MIC 500 course appears to be off to a fast start, with enrollment for next year expected to grow by 330%. MIC stands for Mentorship, Internship, and Careers. It is a capstone course within the district's CTE program. It is only for students who have completed their primary CTE course program. Students from the district's six high schools can enroll. The first few weeks of the course, they learn life skills that will help them in the professional world. Those skills should be beneficial no matter which career they are interested in pursuing, from culinary arts to cybersecurity. We had six teachers, one at each high school, that raised their hand without knowing too much about what the course is going to turn into, and they've been rocking it, Bellows said. During the initial classes, students learn about teamwork, finances, interviewing, and learning how to make an elevator pitch. They're practicing with classmates, but not applying it quite yet, Bellows said. When we started to do interviews with businesses and then actually worked with them, you kind of realize how important it really is. Each student must find an internship in their chosen career path and work at least 130 hours over the course of the school year. Those internships can be paid or unpaid. Bellows said 16% of the 24 students in the initial class are being paid. The MIC 500 teachers check in with each intern's supervisors and collect evaluations on their performance. That will help determine the grade they will earn for the course. Students must also submit written reflections on their internships. Bellows said that so far the class has been a success, with both students and the businesses that have given them internships happy with the results. Businesses love the professionalism of the students, their ability to demonstrate skills and learn new ones, and their availability during the workday, Bellows said. The majority of businesses say they would host again. Students must be a junior or senior, at least 16 years of age, and it is recommended they have transportation so that they can get to their host business. Upperclassmen also tend to have free hours to help them find time for their internship. They also must have earned their credential in whichever CTE course they pursued. And the word of mouth from the current students has helped sell the class to others. As of mid-April, 163 students completed an interest survey about possibly taking next year's course. The district wanted to know which fields they want to do an internship in so they could reach out to local businesses willing to host a student. Bellows said she has secured 137 internship opportunities from 94 business partners for next year. If a student cannot get an internship by the end of the first semester, they must drop the course. CUSD has nearly two dozen CTE courses that cover a variety of occupations. Some include digital photography, early childhood education, and sports medicine. She said the biggest need for additional partners is in the more professional ranks, which may be a little more hesitant about a high school intern. Bioscience is one, Bellows said, of business students who are looking to intern. Possibly film and TV, engineering, probably a few in software. I'd say any of the truly professional ones, they're a little bit more nervous about high school interns. One field they don't need more business in is in social media. Apparently, many businesses think hiring students to update their social media account is a good idea. I don't have enough students for that, Bellows said. Up next in Sun Lakes news, hiking club breaks last year's record. By Warren Wasecha, Sun Lakes Hiking Club. By the numbers, we did a lot of hiking this season. Collectively, 150 active hikers hiked a total of 6,500 miles, 20% more miles than last year. Total AEG, average elevation gain, climbed, totaled over 900,000 feet, or about 170 miles straight up into the sky, almost the equivalent of climbing to the space station. If you add up all of the days each club member hiked this year and line them up over the course of the calendar, It would span over 3 years of hiking. It's been a good year for hiking. The club offered over 100 hikes this season, led by 32 hike leaders, including 4 new hike leaders this year, Pauline Boyd, Vaughn Hale, Joe Milne, and Steve Geislinger. We love our volunteer hike leaders. They make our club hikes possible. Mike Josephson led the most mellow hikes this year. Marilyn Hawkins, Ed Molieri, and Ted Maresch tied 3 ways for leading the most motivated hikes. This year, 8 hikers completed 20 or more hikes. Ed Molieri, Paul Feeney, Paul Engel, Kathy Hall, Henry Silverblatt, Diane Alisi, Fritz Newfield, and Warren Wasescha. Ed led the pack with 31 hikes, followed closely by Paul Engel and Warren Wasescha, with 29 hikes each. Our end-of-the-season picnic gave special shout-outs to all those club members that made our club fun and run as smoothly as it does. Al and Ginny Metz won the Lifetime Achievement Award for their many years of extensive service to the club. Ed Molieri won the Most Prolific Hiker Award. Ron Deros won the Snake Award for his sighting of the first snake of the season. And this year, the annual Sunshine Award recognized Pauline Boyd for her sunny influence on all her hikes. Scott Downey received the prestigious Boot Award for going the extra mile in many ways, including simplifying the sign-up sheet process we use for all club hikes. Ron Deros and Joan Carlisle were recognized for their tireless effort for planning the special hike, as well as all the leaders that pulled together this year's special hike hikes. Like the idea of hiking socially, join our club and enjoy all that we have to offer. We are a friendly, inclusive group of hikers, welcoming all able-bodied hikers. Our goal is to make group hiking fun, challenging, social, and safe. We normally hike November through April and informally throughout the summer months. For more information, please type Sun Lakes Hiking Club into your web browser and look for our meetup page. You can also reach me at wjwasescha@gmail.com. Next in Sun Lakes News, Clutter-Free Gift Ideas by Kim Kubush. Preventing unwanted gifts is a tough one, yet nobody wants items that won't be used or those that clutter the home. There are many reasons for giving and receiving clutter-free gifts, such as lack of space, reducing clutter and overabundance, protecting the environment with less in the landfill, and valuing material possessions less and experiences more. Let people know you prefer clutter-free gifts and create a wish list. Remember that most people give gifts with the intention of making you happy and want to give you what you want. Help them by sharing what you want with specifics on the types of things that would work for you. For clutter-free gift ideas, find out what the person does regularly, what they need, and what they love doing, and any future plans they are working toward. Here are a wide variety of ideas for every lifestyle. Consumables, like chocolate, caramel, coffee, tea, or wine. Consider a Flavor of the Month subscription to a winery or brewery, a gift card to a fancy or themed restaurant. Useful memberships like the gym, AAA, or Amazon Prime. Or fun memberships to things like aquariums, museums, and national parks. Zoos, amusement parks, splash parks, the Andretti Indoor Racetrack, virtual arcade, magazine subscriptions, music streaming services like Apple Music or Spotify. Seniors anywhere may also enjoy great course signature collections, a curated streaming subscription offering over 300 in-depth university-level video courses on topics like history, science, and humanities. In the Sun Lakes Chandler area, an annual membership to NAILS, New Adventures in Learning, is always insightful. Classes for adults like cooking, fitness, arts and crafts, dance, musical instruments, or languages. Relationship activities for date nights, friend night outs, parent-child bonding, such as restaurants or concerts, theater shows, and sporting events can be good ideas. Create a snack basket for those who are not participating. Activities for children, such as dance class, taekwondo, basketball, art, pottery, summer camp, rock climbing, etc., can also be good ideas. Or self-care experiences, like manicures, pedicures, spa days, yoga, meditation, sauna, or sound baths. Or consider extra help, like babysitting, house cleaning, yard work, car washes, or professional organizing. Times are changing, and the younger generation often do not want more stuff, but rather experiences. Most boomers and seniors want experiences too, since they have already accumulated too much stuff. Adjust your lifestyle to clutter-free gifts, and everyone will be happy. Stay tuned for monthly articles about decluttering, downsizing, organizing, redesign, making transitions, and clearing of estates. Call to learn about my 3 30-minute consultation or to speak to your group at 480-720-8566. In our last story, 2026 Crystal Awards Banquet Was a Huge Success by Candy Clark. More than 200 friends and family gathered at the Oakwood Ballroom for this year's Crystal Awards Banquet, honoring 11 recipients from Cottonwood, Palo Verde, Iron Oaks, Robeson Reserve, and Sun Lakes Country Club. Hearing their stories and motives for serving others was inspiring. This year's honorees dedicate their time and talents in numerous ways and places to make Sun Lakes a better place to live. A sampling include homeowner boards and committees, Bible study groups, churches, golf and racquet clubs, the Greater Sun Lakes Community Foundation Board, Neighbors Who Care, Sun Lakes Corral, Arizona Rangers, the Firefighter Walk-A-Thon, Art at Sun Lakes, and service organizations. Special thanks to the sponsors who made this event possible: Aqua Design International, Blue Star Resort and Golf Management, Built by Referral Realty, Cottonwood Palo Verde, Greater Sun Lakes Charity Foundation, Iron Oaks, JW Water, Robeson Reserve, and Sun Lakes Country Club. Thank you to those who nominated this year's volunteers. Many in our four communities deserve this recognition. Nominations for 2027 start this fall. You've been listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona for May 5th, focusing on Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. I am your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. Remember, you can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. Music is News, News, News by Postadar de Musicas. Join us next time for an upcoming episode.